Welcome to All Sides with Ann Fisher. It's our fall pledge drive, and we'll get back to that in just a second. Right now, I want to welcome our guest and note that, yes, today there is a bit of a chill in the air. It's a steady downpour outside since the middle of the night. Traditional fall weather in central Ohio. What's better than a piping hot bowl of homemade soup at such times? And what better guest on such a day than Lynn Alley? Comfort food has long been cookbook author Lynn Alley's stock and trade. No pun intended. I didn't even mean that. So her newest book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, fits right into her growing repertoire for the slow cooker devotee. Lynn Alley has written 5 cookbooks, 3 of them on slow cooking, and she writes articles on food and wine for a variety of publications, and she's also taught cooking classes in the United States and the South of France. Her tastes span the globe, so her efforts fit right in to Central Ohio's collective palate. She joins us again from her home in California today. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Will it make you feel any better, Anne, to know that it has been raining since the middle of the night here, too?
Really? Is that normal?
No, not really. I mean, it can happen.
Yeah.
In October, we usually get some of our most beautiful weather, but it has been drizzling since the middle of the night, and it's a dull gray day out there.
Well, sometimes the leaves even look better on a dull, gray day, or at least I pretend they do, and it's also great for the complexion. So I have all ways to soothe myself, including, you know, talking about soup. So thanks for joining us today.
I'm delighted to be here, as always.
You're listening to All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News, and this is our fall membership drive. Please show your support for All Sides and for 89.7 NPR News. Call 1-866-897-9678. Our goal this hour is $2,000, and we can meet this goal with your help. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And with a pledge of support at the $120 level, our thank you gift to you will be the cookbook 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. This is Lynn Alley's newest book, and we are offering it just in time for fall and winter, the perfect season for soup. Call 1-866-897-9678. 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley is the perfect thank you gift for yourself or the busy chef in the life, or somebody maybe you're getting a slow cooker for Christmas or their birthday or a wedding coming up. This book is full of recipes for delicious soups from minestrone to spiced apple pie soup. At the $120 pledge level, you will learn how to make simple and sophisticated soups in your slow cooker. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And thanks for your support. You know, Lynn, all of your books are beautiful. They're all filled with mouthwatering photographs. This is no exception, but the size and construction of this book is different, and it's getting rave reviews everywhere I go. I absolutely love it. Why the change up, and how do you like it?
You know, I love it. And it may well be, for any number of reasons, my favorite book. Perhaps my first slow cooker book rivals it, as it's kind of like a mom with kids. I really like this one, but don't tell. first of all, it's a different publisher.
Okay.
It's a different publisher, and I really, when I did this, I had great fun doing this book. Great fun. The whole neighborhood had great fun. As you might imagine.
I never thought of it. What a great idea to be your neighbor.
Yes, it's really a great idea because, honestly, during the period of time I was testing soups, which was probably over several months, nobody really had to cook for themselves. So it was really popular around here. And I had great fun with it for any number of reasons. I don't know how much a chance you've had to look at production or anything.
I've looked extensively.
Well, it's... I really got to express the way I live and my heart in it, and that felt very, very good to me. I got to talk about some things in the introduction that were truly important to me. And I think in some senses it's almost I like to consider it a groundbreaking book in this sense. There is no meat used in the book, but it is not called vegetarian soups.
Right.
And I have not yet seen one review of the book that dings it for that particular on that point.
As far as that, it's maybe not, you're not advertising properly, or
right.
that the title's
not
misleading.
Mm-hmm. In fact, the only comment that I've seen that addressed that was someone saying, you know, this is the mark of a truly good meat-free cookbook because I didn't realize until I was halfway through the book that there weren't any meat in the recipes. So I'm very happy about that because, as you know, here in our country and in much of the civilized Western world, meat is the default setting on the dinner table.
Right.
And I would love to see that change. I would love to see that change.
Now, like with a lot of your other recipes, though, that's not to say that you can't. I mean, soups can be part of a meal. It doesn't have to be the meal. So
it doesn't have to be the meal. And anyone who wants to can take, I believe, just about any one of these recipes and add some beef, some chicken, some whatever they think might enhance the soup. Fine. That's a great idea. You know, it makes it, I think, far more versatile because you can have it without the meat or you can have it with tons of meat if that's your preference.
Now, it's smaller. It's a square book. It's got a hardcover, but it has that spiral to it. And I love the spiral. I hate it when
you do too.
You know, I don't have one of those really nice cookbook holders where they hold the sheet back for you. And it's
right.
I don't have enough room in my kitchen. This stays
right.
open where you want it to be. And,
yeah.
You know, looking at a beautiful picture to boot.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that about it, too. It's small. It's simple. You could stick it in your purse and go over to
right.
somebody's house and make soup with them. And I love the way it folds out flat, too.
Okay, I don't mean to go on and on about this cookbook, but it is
everybody's
mentioned it so far. Everybody loves it so far. Lynn Alley has joined us here today to help answer your questions about cooking, but you can have her cookbook and learn much more. And you will be supporting 89.7 NPR News with your pledge today. The thank you gift is an added bonus to being a member of this public radio station. Go to WOSU.org and select 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker at the $120 level. Or pick up the phone and call 1-866-897-9678 and talk to our wonderful, wonderful volunteers who are standing by. Or visit WOSU.org. You can learn more about the book there. Most importantly, though, decide what kind of value the program is. WOSU 89.7 NPR News is to you, and put a value on it, and then divvy that up across the year and decide. You know, how much is it worth to you in a day or a week, a month, and figure that out and figure out what you can afford and show your support right now for WOSU. It's our fall membership drive, and we appreciate all the support we can get. Think of it as your vote, voting with your pocketbook by making your pledge right now at 1-866-897-9678. Yes, Lynn.
My local station is having its membership drive right now, too, so I want everybody out there to know that I just anteed up.
Yeah, with pleasure?
I might have squeaked a little bit, but yes, with great pleasure.
I love my
NPR station.
But now that you've done it, doesn't it feel good?
Yeah, well, I mean, I consider it an investment because it's the only radio station I ever listen to.
Exactly, and that's true for most public radio listeners. So if you're a regular, if you're the typical public radio listener, an avid listener, think about what it means to you, how much it means to you in your life, and how much you appreciate it, and show it with your pocketbook.
Good thing to make soup by and eat soup by.
Yes, it is. Let's talk about soup. So when you open the book with reference to the stone soup folktale, because it exemplifies the simplicity of soup making. You say, what about tweaking your recipes with what's on hand? How do you feel about that? Because you're sort of inviting that right off the bat.
Well, that's exactly what I intended to do, is just to invite. I didn't want people to feel like in most cases they had to go out and buy something very special, very expensive, or very spectacular. I really wanted to encourage people to think of stone soup. What have you got in the kitchen? Can you put it in the slow cooker and make something not only edible, but really good out of it? The local, one of my local yoga studios here, I had a special day-long event of some kind, and I really wanted to highlight how you can make something warming and delicious out of a minimum number of ingredients. And so I just made a white bean soup with white beans, water, salt, and some olive oil and rosemary. And that was all that was in it. Pureed white beans. And it was delicious. People were amazed at how good it was. So I want people to experiment with whatever they've got.
The recipes in the book are inspired by different regions around the world, and you do that often with your books. Are they based on your own travel experiences? How did you decide, or are these things you've been collecting for, you know, as long as you've been doing cookbooks or before?
Well, I have been collecting cookbooks from all over the world, and I do travel somewhat extensively, so it's a combination of the above, mm-hmm. and that is if I travel to a region and taste something that I've really, really enjoyed, I'll usually come home, adapt it, and put it in one of my cookbooks.
Are any of these adaptations for meals in your previous slow cooker books?
I think that the apple soup is in one of my other... Yeah, I think there are probably a few recipes in here. Yeah, I always put my chili recipe in its...
With the cornbread top?
Incarnation. Sorry?
With the cornbread top?
Yeah. I usually put that in my cookbooks because people seem to love that so much. And honestly, every time I make it, it's a little bit different. So every time I write it up, it's a bit different as well.
You know, that bothers some people when you go off the recipe that they've prescribed, because then they say, well, then how do you know it's going to work out? How can you judge the book if you're not following the recipe exactly?
Well, I think perhaps...
I won't name names. Oh. Go ahead.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's a great idea. I think what you can't do is, you know, create your own version of the recipe and then complain if it doesn't come out right.
Right.
I mean, to give any cookbook or cookbook author a fair trial, you probably should make it as it's written, see how it turns out, and then stand there and say to yourself, well, this could use a little bit of, you know, a little bit more chili powder or a little bit more, you know, whatever. And then I think it's a great idea to play around.
Thanks to Betsy and William in Dublin, and also Carol and Hilliard. Thank you very much for your support for 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher. We have $1,680 to go in the hour. Thanks for your support. We appreciate it. This is listener-supported 89.7 NPR News, and this is All Sides with Ann Fisher. Joining us this morning is cookbook author and slow cooker expert Lynn Alley with our thank you gift for this hour, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. We've used Lynn's books as thank you gifts in the past. They're always popular. This one is probably my favorite so far. Lynn says soups are meals that are easy on the planet and easy on the pocketbook. The book focuses on fruits, grains, and vegetables. Call 1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org and support 89.7 NPR News, your all-day NPR news station. We need to hear from you now. 1-866-897-9678 or go to WOSU.org. Our goal this hour was $2,000, and we now need to raise $1,580 to go. Thanks to Brett in Columbus and also Lucas in Columbus. Thanks so much for your support,
nice.
Of all sides. Yeah.
We're doing good.
1-866-897-9678 or visit WOSU.org. And really, if you're planning on getting anybody a gift, like a wedding gift, a Christmas gift, they're always popular at Christmas and the holidays, of a slow cooker, a gift of a slow cooker, this would be a great companion. So
here's a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good idea. Okay. Let's suppose you're going to give a wedding gift and you're really going to spring big. Get a fancy slow cooker, and you could package up the 4 slow cooker books in it with a ribbon and a wooden spoon and maybe a bag of beans or something like that.
That would be super luxe, no doubt about
Wouldn't
it.
Wouldn't that be wonderful?
Yes.
I mean, I'd love to get that as a present.
I would too.
And who wrote the book.
And if you can't manage all 4, this one would easily fit into almost any slow cooker size.
As a little surprise. And even like if you've got a college student or somebody who's going away and living on their own, one of the really small slow cookers, like there's a lovely 1.5 liter slow cooker that Proctor Silex makes in these incredibly bright colors, would be perfect size to stick one of these books in with the aforementioned wooden spoon and maybe a package of beans or something like that. So I can see all sorts of possibilities for packaging in terms of the slow cooker book and the slow cooker.
Yeah, when I say it's a smaller book, this is not a chintzy book at all. It's beautiful. I mean, I don't even know how to begin to describe it, but the Spiral is getting, like I said earlier, rave reviews in every review I've read. I mean, someone, especially the bloggers, the food bloggers, are talking about it because they just like it. It's easy. What are the, well, you have an interesting knowledge of salt, and we've talked about it before. It's in the book again. The recipes don't specify how much or what kind to use necessarily, but what are some examples of the way salt can change the flavor in a dish? Because you mentioned earlier the white bean with salt and some rosemary and a little olive oil.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because the only criticism in print I've seen of this book was from a blogger who said, well, I had to add lots of salt, which told me right then and there that she hadn't really read the book, because there's a whole section in the introduction on salt and the use of salt and how important it is in things like soups and stews. I think it's especially important there. And in the introduction to the book, I say that most soups that I've come across would benefit from, at the very minimum, a start with a full tablespoonful of salt. Now, you may want to add more. You may find that for your taste, you need a little bit less salt. But it's amazing. Salt has some very amazing properties. And one of the things it does is it mutes the bitter receptors in your mouth. So that one of the things that happens when we salt our food is that we no longer quite taste the bitter flavors that are there. And therefore, we are able to taste just about everything else. It's almost like intensifying all the other flavors in the dish, and in particular, the sweeter flavors. So, you know, not only does salt satisfy our craving for that salty taste, which is, you know, we're hardwired biologically to want salt, but it also enhances all the other flavors in the soup. So, salt away.
Lynn Alley, my guest, is an experienced food and wine journalist, and this is her fifth cookbook. She has a lot of answers for any of your questions, so if you have a question or comment for her, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. We welcome your questions and comments. I'm sorry I haven't invited you sooner to join the conversation. So that's 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. And if you want to make that pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to wosu.org. It takes just a few minutes to make your pledge right away, and always give what you can afford. We appreciate whatever you can afford, whatever you can manage. No amount is too small in my book. I don't know if everyone agrees, but that's my slogan, because once you give, it becomes a habit, feels good, you want to do it again the next time. So that's 1-866-897-9678. And our gift at the $120 pledge level is 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker by Lynn Alley, a frequent Pledge Drive guest. We always love having her on. This book is brand new. It includes 50 soup recipes. Actually, 51, right? 51 or 50?
I'm not sure.
50 soup recipes. Someone mentioned 51 in one of the reviews I read. So, but all of them are flavorful and hearty. There's cold soups and hot soups. The book is a great introduction that will teach you about using a slow cooker and tips on freezing soups as well. This cookbook is hardcover. It has a spiral binding that allows you to lay flat on your kitchen counter as you follow along with the recipes. Learn how to make garnet yam soup with coconut cream and eggplant soup with cumin, yogurt, and dill. Book includes classics like French onion soup and cream of tomato soup on the cover, as a matter of fact, I think, and also includes unique offerings like Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup and Mexican tomato chili soup with orange juice and zest. Wow. At the $120 pledge level, that's our thank you gift to you, and we appreciate whatever you can afford, but at the $120 level, that's our thank you gift. So at the $60 level and up, of course, you become an official member of WOSU, and you get our WOSU membership card with discounts at some 200 restaurants and attractions in Central Ohio. So no matter what, you know, we want to say thank you. 1-866-897-9678. We have $1,380 to go. Thank you to John in Columbus. 1-866-897-9678. 9678 or WOSU.org. And thank you. Melissa in Columbus, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Melissa.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
Yes, I actually have two questions. My first question is, I work a lot. I work 60-hour weeks. I work 5 days a week at 12-hour days. And I love choosing, I know, it's rough. It's really hard to cook. I have a really hard time cooking. So my husband and I go out a lot or have takeout, and I love using my slow cooker, but I wonder if she had any suggestions about, like, if you're going to be gone for 12 hours, is it possible to use a slow cooker, or will it just turn everything to mush by the time I get back home?
That's a great question, and I think it's very possible to use a slow cooker. And let me say a little bit more about that. The recipes in this book are designed to have something for everybody. So there are a few very short-time soups, soups that can be done in 2 or 3 hours. But there are also plenty of soups that are designated to be 8-hour soups. Now, that doesn't help you, you may think, if you're going to be gone for 12 hours. But here's what I do. One of the secrets to making a good soup or a good dish of any kind in the slow cooker is that you start with those ingredients that can be cooked for a very long time. And then as that time progresses, you may add some of the more fragile ingredients. So let's just suppose that I was going to be gone for 12 hours. I might choose something like the Tuscan white bean soup that I was just describing earlier, because quite frankly, I don't think you can really overcook white beans. Put them in the cooker, turn them on. When you get home, your only job is going to be to puree the beans, add the salt, drizzle in some olive oil and some rosemary, and there you've got a perfectly acceptable dinner, maybe with a loaf of bread and some salad or something like that. And there are any number of recipes in the book that you can do that with. You don't have to put all the ingredients in at one time. Here's another idea for someone who has to work 12 hours. You could take, for instance, the minestrone. The base of that soup is beans. Put the beans on. Let them cook for a long time. And perhaps on the weekend or the night before, you could have cut up some vegetables that you can throw in when you get home.
Okay.
So there are ways around being out for the whole day.
Yeah. That. And the other thing that I struggle with, too, is I have to eat gluten-free. I have celiac disease.
Ooh.
And so it's hard for me to find cookbooks, because it seems like if you get a gluten-free cookbook, it seems like they always have these wild ingredients that cost a ton of money.
I know.
And then if I buy like a normal cookbook, I can only use like maybe a third of the recipes. So how many recipes would you guess are gluten-free?
A soup book is probably a really good choice for anybody on a gluten-free diet. And I'm just scanning the recipes right now as I'm talking to you.
There's one, two. I mean, there's a lot without any grains
there's very few soups that have any gluten in them. And that gluten usually comes in the form, of course, of, you know, a tablespoon or two of flour.
That's right.
Yeah, or barley. What could be used instead of barley in a soup, like to get that same like flavor and texture, but make it gluten-free?
Well, for one thing, there are really only one or two recipes in this book that have barley in them. I'm looking at a dried mushroom barley soup with dilled cream. Leave out the barley.
Mm-hmm.
Puree some of the mushrooms for thickness. That's, you know, it's a beautiful secret to making soup, is that if you want the soup thicker than what the recipe advises, then use your immersion blender and just puree some of the ingredients. You don't have to make a cream sauce for thickening. You don't have to make any kind of a white sauce. You can just use your immersion blender and puree a portion of the ingredients for thickness.
Okay. Good advice.
So
taking my call.
Pleasure.
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to dominate your time, so I'll let you go, but I appreciate it.
Thanks, Melissa.
Yeah.
Thanks. 614-292-8513 or email us at allsides@wosu.org. We have some calls. We'll get to them right away. First, I want to thank Mary in Columbus. We have $1,200 to go from our $2,000 goal. Thanks a lot, Mary, and also John and everybody else who's pitched in this morning. Our thank you gift at the $120 pledge level is 50 simple soups for the slow cooker. That's what we're talking about right now with cookbook author Lynn Alley. It's her newest, latest book. It's beautiful. Check it out if you want. Go online, read some of the reviews. If you don't believe me, this book includes classics like French onion soup, and also some twists, Mexican tomato chili soup with orange juice and zest. Lynn Alley's book has a great table of contents and a helpful index in the back. And Lynn shares 50 all-new vegetarian and vegan soups in this book using fresh and simple ingredients. These soups are easy to make, easy on the planet, and easy on the pocketbook, as Lynn says. So think about it. Give what you can. We appreciate anything. Every show of support is another vote for All Sides, another vote for 89.7 NPR News, and you're doing something good for yourself at the same time. 1-866-897-9678 is the number to call. If you want to pledge online, takes just a few minutes, go to WOSU.org. Our wonderful volunteers from Central Ohio are live and in person, just a few feet away from me. They're between a few walls, but I know they're over there, and they're waiting for your call right now.
Maybe they're getting hungry.
I was reading the book this morning, and I started whipping up a slow cooker soup with what I had in the refrigerator. So, Rick in Upper Arlington, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Rick.
Thank you, and my favorite show for sure.
Thank you.
And
hi, Rick.
Congratulations on your book. It looks beautiful. What did you say the size was again?
It looks like it's about 6 inches square, wouldn't you say,
Lynn? Yeah, that would be a good guess.
Yeah, about 6 inches, so maybe a little bit bigger.
Oh, that's great. I'll have to check it out when I get into the...
A little bit bigger than Goodnight Moon. Okay.
I have my tomatoes, my heirloom organic tomatoes are so... They're still popping out. I still have a lot more to harvest. And I would like to make a tomato basil type of soup in my 1962 mm-hmm. Proctor Silex slow cooker.
Oh, this is great. You are so vintage.
Well, it's my mom's. It's something that we saw when I was a little kid. And it's amazing that it just works great. It's a beautiful tool in the kitchen, that's for sure.
What color is it, Rick?
Wow.
It's orange, and it's got a little harvest, little decal on it. It's kind of cute.
Okay.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah, it's so cool. Anyways, my tomatoes, so I have cherries that are the organic cherries that are fantastic. There's just thousands of them. And I have so many heirlooms. And do I have to puree them?
You mean you're thinking you'd rather leave them whole?
I'm not thinking anything. You know, I don't have a puree cone, one of those cones, and is that something I'm going to need?
Well, let me encourage you to get one just because it's such a useful, handy little tool. I don't know how much experience you've had making soup, but I've been doing it for a long time, and I can remember the days when you had to take the contents of a hot pot of cooked something and pour it bit by bit into mm-hmm. the blender and puree it in the blender in batches. And inevitably, I would have soup, you know, splattered all over the kitchen cabinets, yada, yada, yada. The immersion blender is such an easy way to blend ingredients. That doesn't answer your question, except it says, yeah, it's probably a really good idea to get one. They're not terribly expensive, and it's such a useful tool to have that go ahead and get one. Do you have to puree your tomatoes? Nobody's going to make you. But in my real cream of tomato soup, for instance, which I think is just fabulous.
Page 58.
I make it with the tomatoes from my garden. My recommendation would be that you could puree all of the tomatoes, or you could use the technique I was just talking about a few minutes ago, and that is puree some of the tomatoes, so that you still have the shape of some of your lovely little cherry tomatoes floating around in the soup.
How about that, Rick?
That sounds great.
Okay. My mom used to just take, canned tomatoes and chop them up and put them in with our Campbell's when we were kids. Wow. Gourmet tomato soup. This is real gourmet. It's on page 58, Rick. So I hope you enjoy if you get the book. And thanks for the call.
Well, thank you so very much.
You're welcome. 614-292-8513, or you can email us at allsides@wosu.org. This is listener-supported, 89.7 NPR News. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher, and this is our fall membership drive, and our goal today is simple: to get your pledge of support at 1-866-897-9678 or go online at WOSU.org. Another one of my goals, of course, is to entertain you and edify you today with my guest, Lynn Alley. If we achieve that for you on any given day, maybe every day, then maybe it's time to show your appreciation for that and pitch in. 1-866-897-9678. You can go online as well to make your pledge at WOSU.org. And in return for your pledge, we are offering you 50 simple soups for the slow cooker at the $120 pledge level. It's a wonderful book, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, has beautiful illustrative pictures of the soups you will create. The goal of this book is to teach you how to make sophisticated soup in a slow cooker, freeing you from hours of hard work in the kitchen. Learn how to make French onion soup and potato cheese and asparagus soup and spring red plum soup. Pick up this thank you gift for a pledge of $120. Go to WOSU.org. Takes just a few minutes, or call 1-866-897-9678 and talk to some of your fellow Central Ohioans who are in there answering the phone right now. One of the things...
Let's talk for breakfast.
Oh, you have breakfast soups.
Did you think about that?
No.
You know, in other parts of the world, there are some parts of the world where soup for breakfast is not at all uncommon. And I'm afraid I'm one of those people who will gladly eat cold pizza or cold pasta.
I like cold pizza, yeah.
Yeah, so for me, a bowl of soup for breakfast is not unusual around here.
Well, it's good. I mean, particularly if it has, you know, everything. And, you know, some people like to eat sandwiches for breakfast.
Yeah, you know, I've had sandwiches for breakfast,
yeah.
Sure. That's another thought.
We have an email from Jenny right now, and she says, because of a health issue, I am trying to replace high-sodium canned soups. Do the soups in your book have less sodium than canned soups? Lynn?
Sure. And the beauty is, when you're making your own soup, you don't have to put any sodium in at all. However, you're going to get a pretty bland soup in most cases. But she has the option, when making her own, of varying the amount of sodium, you know, in the soup. That's kind of a no-brainer, because mm-hmm. most canned soups are really high in sodium.
And maybe using other herbs, other spices to bring other flavors out?
Certainly. Yes, yeah, certainly. You can add flavor using herbs and spices. I still think you're going to need a little bit of salt, but she gets to choose the amount.
Let's see. We have eggplant soup with cumin, yogurt, and dill, Mexican tomato chili soup with orange juice and zest, Indian spiced fresh tomato soup, real cream of tomato soup, red pepper soup with basil chiffonade. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Chiffonade, yeah.
Chiffonade. Spanish potato and green olive soup. Oh, and then there's the potato, broccoli, and cheese soup. Yum, yum. There's another potato soup in there somewhere. Oh, that's the corn and potato chowder, one of my favorites. Enchilada soup, celery root soup, chickpea soup, creamy butternut squash, mushroom prune, and rice soup. Prune, we're, prune.
Speaking of breakfast.
Makes it very savory, right?
Yeah. It's actually really, really good. It's just a nice little spurt of sweet in the soup.
We are stuck at $1,200. We need to get that down to zero. We have $1,200 to go in our pledge drive this hour. Give us a call, 614-292-8. Oops, that's to talk to Lynn. 614-292-8513 if you want to talk with my guest, Lynn Alley. If you would like to make that pledge right now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org and do the right thing and show support for your public radio station. Show support for all the shows that you love on public radio. If that includes All Sides with Ann Fisher, yay. This is the time to make the pledge. 1-866-897-9678. And thanks for your support. We really appreciate it. What do you recommend doing to thicken a soup that comes out too watery? What do you typically recommend?
I would say haul out the old immersion blender and just puree some of the ingredients.
And then you can leave some of it, you know, chunky if you want. And
Yeah, you can still have plenty of texture in a soup. Just puree some of them. I mean, same thing is true with a soup that's made out of just beans. You can puree some of them and leave some of them whole.
you know, once again, when you're making your own soup, you get to call the texture as well as the amount of salt as well as everything else in it. You want it chunky? Fine. You want it real smooth? Then puree the heck out of everything.
Mm-hmm. You include tricks that you've used to infuse soups with rich flavor without meat. I tried one this morning. You write about the benefit of browning the vegetables first.
Yeah. Yeah, it's kind of a, there's a classic chef's technique of roasting vegetables or roasting any kind of ingredients. There are even soups where you, you know, take big chunks of meat that you would never eat by themselves and putting them in a roasting pan and roasting them first just to add a whole new dimension of flavor and then tossing them into the soup. What I like to do is, especially if you have one of those slow cookers that can also be used on the stovetop, is I like to take some of the ingredients and cook them with no water or with just a very minimal amount of water all by themselves on high for 2 hours. Mm. In that way, you can sort of mimic the roasting of vegetables, and you can get some of those unusual flavors or some of those some different flavors than what you might get if you just threw the ingredients and water in the pot and started cooking them.
1-866-897-9678. That's the number to call to make your pledge right now. Thanks to Ann and Charles in Columbus. We have $1,000 to go. We're halfway to our goal. We have less than 20 minutes to go, really less than 19 minutes to go now. Give us a call right now or go online to WOSU.org and show your support for WOSU 89.7 NPR News and All Sides with Ann Fisher and all the shows that you love and listen to every day, some of you all day long. 1-866-897-9678. Less than 19 minutes to go now, and we really want to hit that goal. Lynn Alley has a beautiful book. It's our thank you gift to you at the $120 pledge level. It's called 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. And what does it show on the cover but none other than our favorite, all-time favorite, cream of tomato soup in a cool...
And a grilled cheese sandwich.
Oh, I see that. A little corner of the grill. Oh, gosh. That, this is just making
you know,
me hungry.
I loved listening to Oprah when she said that even she, when she was a little girl, her mama used to give her cream of tomato soup, you know, Campbell's, of course, which is what so many people ate, with a grilled cheese sandwich. That's such an American classic.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. We all do it. We all have had it. And I passed it on to my son. I don't know if he knows how to make it, but... maybe someday.
Give him the book.
Yeah. if you'd like to speak with my guest, Lynn Alley, cookbook author, food and wine journalist, and author of her latest, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, give us a call, 614-292-8513, or email us at allsides@wosu.org. Lynn will be with us for about 17 more minutes, so get your calls in soon. We have $1,000 to go, halfway to our goal, less than 20 minutes or less than 16 minutes to go now, so please make the call now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Now, you have some tips for freezing soups. For instance, you said potato soups generally don't freeze well, and I was wondering why that is, and if you could just share some of your other tips.
Well, I don't really know why that is. It's just that potatoes don't really freeze well.
Okay.
Potato soup, you know, they just don't like it. It's too cold in there.
Huh.
And they change texture.
Okay.
And also, one of the other tips about freezing is if, you know, often you're going to add some sour cream or some kind of dairy product at the end of the cooking time of a soup, it's a real good idea just to freeze the soup without the dairy product in it. And then, excuse me, add the dairy product when you reheat. I love to freeze soups. Right now, I've got a whole bunch of, guess what, tomato soup in my freezer because I like Rick. Our caller have a lot of tomatoes growing against the side of the house and more than I could possibly figure out what to do with. So I've made soup out of a lot of them and just frozen them.
I'm actually a little jealous of Rick right now because my tomatoes are not continuing to ripen. They're green
How
on the vine.
He's got tomatoes that are
I don't know about that.
I mean, weather.
Yeah, if we're having another show, in fact, I hope Rick calls back next time I have one of our gardening experts on so he can share his secret because it's
well,
just not happening
this.
For me.
Let me give you a suggestion for your green tomatoes that are withering on the vine.
Okay.
This is just an old Italian trick. because, you know, as we know in, you know, in the countryside, in olden times, people didn't really want to waste even a drop of anything. So, excuse me, one thing you can do, and I've actually done this with some of mine, is cut the vine itself that's got, you know, like several green tomatoes on it. Cut the vine itself, take it indoors, and hang dry it. The intensity of flavor in those green tomatoes is going to, well, it's going, the flavor is going to intensify greatly as it begins to dry out. Now, this, of course, assumes that you've got someplace that you can keep relatively dry. But and then there are recipes, you may be able to find some online. There are recipes, for instance, for green tomato sauce, mm-hmm. which means that you're using dried or fresh green tomatoes to make your sauce instead of red. And the way, you know, you might be thinking, well, that must be very bitter and very acidic. But the way to cut that is to add some ricotta cheese. So you've got a green tomato sauce. You stir some ricotta cheese into the pasta. I was playing around with such recipes myself, and I thought it was delicious.
There is a tomato soup recipe in here that just looks so good. The Indian spiced fresh tomato soup.
Yum.
Yum. How is that different from typical?
Well, it's different, I would say, probably mainly in that it has, you know, a different set of spices. It has those kinds of spices that are typically found in Indian recipes, like cumin and coriander. And, you know, it's just much spicier than the classic cream of tomato soup. It's hot stuff. I'm looking for the recipe.
Yeah, page 41.
I've got. Thank you. There you are, my expert. Okay, page 41 coming up. Yeah, it's just got a lot more spices in it. It's got
ginger.
The Indian repertoire, the usual Indian suspects. And consequently, it also has more texture.
Mm-hmm.
Onion, cilantro, ginger, cumin, black mustard seed, ground cinnamon, which I love with tomatoes, cloves of garlic, you know, coconut.
Shredded coconut, unsweetened shredded coconut, yeah.
And minced serrano chili. Yum. That just sounds delicious.
Thanks to Rita in Worthington. Thanks for your support. We have $900 to go, and I understand that Rita is also our emailer. So we have an email question from Rita. And Rita, thanks for both your question and for your support of WOSU. She writes, I often eat soup for breakfast and then eggs for dinner. I'm beginning to stock my freezer. I'm beginning to stock my freezer with chicken soup, ham and beans, vegetable, all cooked in slow cooker. Nothing better than getting up in the morning and smelling wonderful aromas. So, yes, Rita's got the right idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I love it.
And Stacey,
imagine that. Put the soup on at night
and
wake up to the smell of soup. I love it.
And then it's ready to take to work, too.
Yep.
You know, if you want to take work soup with you to work, slow cooker works overnight really well. Stacey is on the way to Chillicothe from Columbus, so she just called in a question for us. She says, can any of the soups be made using ingredients that don't spoil? I'm not sure I understand that question.
I'm not sure I understand the question either. Everything will spoil if you let it sit around. Unless you're using, like, what do they call them? Twinkies or little. I understand those have a very, very, very long shelf.
Heavily processed foods.
Yeah, heavily processed foods.
Maybe we didn't get that question right, but Stacey, if you want to give us a call and go into a little bit more detail about what you mean by that, we'd welcome it. 614-292-8513. We have a few more minutes left with my guest, Lynn Alley. We have $900 to go in our pledge drive this hour in just about 10 minutes. So we need to get those calls in right now. If you've been waiting, you've been thinking, give what you can, give what you can afford. We appreciate whatever level you can afford at the $60 level. Don't forget, $60 and above, you become an official member of the WOSU Club. And for that, at that level and above, you also will get the WOSU membership card, which is good for discounts at some 200 local restaurants and attractions. So that's a great deal. And at the $120 level, you also will get our gift of Lynn Alley's newest cookbook, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. We now have $800 to go, thanks to Marlene in Plain City. Thanks so much for your support.
Great.
Yeah. If you can manage $120, Our gift to you, the 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker, Lynn Alley's newest cookbook. It's what we're talking about right now. We, of course, welcome your questions, 614-292-8513, but we welcome your support. Now is the time. We do this a couple, three times a year. Ask for your support. Ask you to show your support and tell people this is what matters to you. This is something that matters to you. We spend money on stuff all the time. $60, $120, spread that out over the course of a year, maybe a dollar a week, a dollar every 2 weeks, maybe it's $10 a month, whatever works for you. 1-866-897-9678. Think about what it would be worth to you if they took it away from you right now. What would you pay to bring public radio back? 1-866-897-9678. We have $800 to go in just about 9 minutes. So make the call right now. Let's just do it and make this goal and show people that this is something that matters to you.
What a sorry world it would be if we had to listen to other radio stations.
I know.
24/7. I couldn't do it.
I know. I've only been working here for 2 years, but I've been listening since I can remember, as long as it was out there. And
How could I live without Click and Clack on the weekends to brighten up my weekend?
Wayne, don't tell me.
Yes.
You know, just the sound of Carl Castle's voice. I know it's almost could kill you. And you know, I mean, everybody's been listening to the Escaped Animals in Ohio. NPR's had it on all morning.
Now, I haven't heard this. Animals in Ohio?
There was a wild or exotic animal reserve. They do that in Ohio.
Uh-huh.
And about 60-something animals, 50-something, several dozen have escaped.
Oh,
lions
dear.
And tigers and bears, you
oh,
name
my.
It. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they're out there. And people all over the world are listening to it because of NPR, because of Morning Edition, because of BBC. That's stuff that you'll hear on our radio station every day, every morning.
This is so sad.
Yeah, so we're still here. That's why I'm still breathing. I'm still kicking. So while I am, give us a call, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Thanks to Christy in Columbus, we have $700 to go and just about 7 minutes. So I know we can do it. We've done it before. We'll do it again. Don't keep me in suspense. Make the call right now. And at the $120 pledge level, our gift to you is Lynn Alley's newest fabulous cookbook, 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker. If you have time, go online, check out some of the reviews for yourself. They're all positive. Your call right now to 1-866-897-9678 makes you an instant member of WOSU. You will be in the club. You make one phone call and you've done your part for the entire year. You can also do your part online at our secure server at WOSU.org or call 1-866-897-9678. Pick up 50 Simple Soups for the Slow Cooker for a $120 pledge to WOSU. Remember, you can see a picture of the book in a description at WOSU.org as well. So, and from this book, you can learn how to make some great vegetarian and vegan soups that are hearty and flavorful. Try your hand at making sweet potato soup and Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup. I suppose they keep writing that for me, so maybe we should talk about that. But first, call 1-866-897-9678 or go online to WOSU.org and tell us that we matter to you. So let's talk about that Swedish rhubarb raspberry soup. How in the world, where did it come from? Is it truly Swedish, or did you just make that up, Lynn?
Okay, I just made it up. No, let's talk about fruit soups, because that concept is a little bit unusual. There's the apple, the spiced apple soup recipe in here. There's a red plum soup, which is incredible. And then there's the rhubarb raspberry soup. And think about this. Soups probably evolved as a way for ancient peoples to take a little bit of ingredient and stretch them farther than they would go if you left them in their natural form. And fruit is probably no exception. Mm-hmm. There are soups that use fruit as an ingredient, such as the one I have with the prunes in it. But there are soups that rely wholly upon fruit. Probably in the U.S. today, those kinds of soups would get placed at the end of a meal as a dessert soup,
mm-hmm.
or spooned over your yogurt for breakfast,
ooh.
Or as just a straight breakfast soup, maybe with a dollop of yogurt in it all by themselves. But I've actually served the spiced apple soup, for instance, as a main course with cheddar chive biscuits for, you know, for a dinner for, you
know. I was thinking dumplings might be good.
Dumplings, yeah. What about really heavily spiced dumplings in the apple soup? That's a good idea. Yeah. Ooh, cheddar chive spiced dumplings in the soup.
Ooh, yummy.
Oh, you are good.
You can help
me on the next
one. Oh, my gosh. We're down to about 5 minutes now. And Donna in McMurray, Pennsylvania, she just showed her support for WOSU. We have just $500 to go. $500 to go, and just about...
That could be one generous listener.
One generous listener. Or five really wonderful listeners, or 10, or 20. But we have 5 minutes. There's plenty of time, and we have plenty of people in there waiting to take your call right now. Remember, they are Central Ohioans who are volunteering their time to take your call. You'll be talking to another Central Ohioan when you give us a call right now. 1-866-897-9678. And Carol in Springfield, you're on the air. Welcome to the show, Carol.
Well, thank you. I just wanted you to know that your show today has inspired me to try what I'm calling third grade soup. I'm a master gardener, and we were doing a Meet the Plants program, and we got through all of our stuff with them.
I love it.
And then we went to a salad, what they would put in a salad. Well, we got that done very quickly, and we got the idea of soup. So they listed a lot of vegetables. The one thing we didn't necessarily say we thought would work real well in soup was when they said lettuce.
Ah, but
you could use lettuce in a soup too, though. You really could.
Yeah,
especially some of the tougher varieties of lettuce, chiffonade, and throw it in the soup, just like you would kale or spinach.
They were thinking of iceberg lettuce.
Okay.
So make taco soup.
Oh.
Doesn't that sound good? I'd eat that.
Yeah. I had
to throw the lettuce on it just before you serve it.
Right.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Little kids would love that.
Thanks, Carol.
Yes, they would. Thank you.
Take care. Thanks for your call.
Bye.
Thanks to Sandy in Columbus. We have $340 to go and just about 3 minutes, a little less than 3 minutes. $340, 3 minutes. I know we can do it. 1-866-897-9678. This is All Sides with Ann Fisher on 89.7 NPR News. And you're catching the tail end of our fall membership drive for my hour. Thanks to Sue and Pat in Westerville. We have $250 to go. I know we can do it. Just about two and a half minutes. So, make the call now, 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Pick up one of those books for yourself that we've been talking about, or as a gift for the chef in your life. If you love soup but don't like to cook, give it to the person who cooks for you. 1-866-897-9678. Say, honey, we're now members of WOSU, and I got you this great book. 1-866-897-9678. This is a very beautiful book. You won't regret it, and you'll feel so good not only about your pledge but about what you can do with it. You'll always remember that you showed your support for public radio every time you open up your brand new 50 simple soups for the slow cooker. For a pledge of just $120, go to 89.7 NPR News, or pledge $240 and get one for yourself and give one as a gift and double your commitment to 89.7 NPR News. Thanks to Amy in Columbus, we have $120 to go. I know we can do it. We probably go over it. So be the one to take
us over the top.
1-866-897-9678. It's been such a wonderful pledge drive this season. Everyone's been wonderful and generous, and we know a lot of people are scraping by these days. And if you have a little extra money and can make up for some people who are seeing hard times, give us a call. 1-866-897-9678, or go online to WOSU.org. Lynn Alley, thank you so much for being with us today. We appreciate it. It was great talking to you again.
As always, it was so much fun.
And best wishes for every success with your beautiful new book.
Thank you, Ann. Thanks so much, and best wishes with your fundraising.
Thank you. And thanks to everybody for your support today. We still have $120 to go, so pick up the phone and make the call, 1-866-897-9678, or go to WOSU.org. And thanks to all the callers today, and thanks to all the people who show their support. We really appreciate it. Sports. All Sides with Ann Fisher. This is WOSU 89.7, WOSU HD1, and WOSU 820 Columbus, and streaming online at WOSU.org, 89.7, NPR News, a service of WOSU Public Media.